So it's Susie from MERP, and I am here with Pat or Patrick from Bomb Scare. How are you?
Doing great.
Good. How far into the tour are you? I should know this, but I don't.
We're towards the tail end of it. So we had started on, we started the 29th of June in our hometown, Bakersfield. We cut through Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, Utah, Washington, and here we are in Oregon. You know, we're on the tail end of it, so we've got Medford tomorrow, and then we cut back into California, call it a day.
Cool, I was born in Medford. It's
gonna be okay.
Nice and warm down there. So, for the fans that don't know a Bomb Scare, describe the sound.
You know, we just all do our own thing. We all have our own influences that come from different places, you know. I'd say it's basically you know, I guess our take on thrash metal, you know, we try not to sound too much like one thing or another. We don't try to be like, you know, sound like we're from 1985 or whatever, you know. We just kind of do our own thing, you know, and if people enjoy it, they enjoy it, you know. Like, I know we have fun doing it, so.
So if you look at classic American thrash bands, do you have some that stand out that are influences to you?
Oh, man, I could list a fucking million bands, you know. You know, some of my personal favorites, you know, Forced Entry, you know, from Seattle, Demolition Hammer, Sadus, Atrophy, Evil Dead, Sacred Reich, you know, the list just goes on and on and on. I can keep going forever, you know what I mean?
It's funny that you say that because I'm an old school thrash metal, like I think I was seeing like Anthrax and Metallica like in 1981, 1982, but all the bands you mentioned, I don't know except for Sacred Reich.
Okay, you know, you should definitely check
them out. I'm going to.
You know what I mean? I highly recommend all of them.
That's awesome.
You know, I mean, it's really easy to say the obvious ones like Exodus or Overkill, you know what I mean? I mean, everyone, you know, more or less knows this one. So, like, when I talk about my influences, I try to bring up the ones maybe somebody might not know. So, oh, who the fuck are those? You know, I want to check them out. You know what I mean? Like,
so besides bass, do you play anything else? And did you start playing the bass?
I started on guitar, you know. Me and Tom, my brother, you know, we got guitars as kids because, you know, we were Metallica for the first time. And it was like, that's fucking it right there. You know, I want to play guitar. I want to play in a band, you know. And so we both started on guitar. I'd say he was a little more naturally inclined than I was. He just got it and I didn't. So over the years, you know, I tried to hack it out. And I was a mediocre guitar player, I guess, you know, and I bounced around in different bands. You know, like I'd be a dedicated vocalist, you know. Or just guitar, and then, you know, at one point, they needed a bass player, so I switched over to bass, and I kind of just fell in love with it, you know? And then with Bomb Scare, you know, I kind of married the two things I love the most, you know, doing the frontman thing and playing, you know? So it just kind of worked out.
It's funny because, you know, sometimes I think the instrument chooses you rather than you choose the instrument. And I think that happens a lot. I know I've played guitar since I was like 4, but it's never been my passion. I love the drums, but I'm not very good at it. But it's the thing I probably should have done.
It's one of those things, like, over time, it all just kind of came full circle for me. Like, you know, it just worked out for me, you know?
All the bands that you've been in, were you always with your brother, or did you guys ever separate?
This is actually our first, like, formal project together, you know? After all these years, we're actually doing something together. And it's funny, because we've always played with each other, and we never, like, were in, like, a band together, you know? So, like, you know, it's whatever point we're like, let's fucking do this, you know what I mean? And that was probably, it's hard to say, late 13, early 14, you know, when we were starting to talk about it, you know, and we just kind of built it up from there, you know. It took us a really long time to find a drummer, you know, so like end of 15 is when we started finally playing shows, you know, but we had been writing, you know, and getting things put together for a long time.
So when you look at finding a drummer, do you look within your circle of friends and people in the scene, or did you look outside of that?
The drummers are always the hardest ones to find. Yeah, we went through a few guys, you know. We had a couple guys that kept us going, like just playing shows, you know. And we finally got our current guy Fernando, and he's been solid with us ever since, you know. It's like we're a fucking team, you know what I mean? I wouldn't want it any other way, you know. So I'm just super happy with what we have going right now, you know.
On the way here, I was listening to Liquid Metal, and they were talking about Vinnie Paul and Dimebag. And Vinnie was saying he got the drums, and he was a musician, and his brother just, you know, asked his dad for a guitar, stood in front of the mirror with his Ace Frehley makeup on, and
yeah.
He's like, dude, are you ever going to play? And he said it took like a month or two. They were separated, you know, just doing their own thing, and he said Dime came into his room while he was playing drums and said, you want to jam? And he's like, do you even know how to play? And he's like, yes. And so he started with Smoke on the Water. Mm-hmm. He said they played that for 8 hours, just that same drum. So do you have, was there a moment like that with your brother where you guys were like, this is what we want to do?
You know, I said we were kids, you know, we were given like acoustics or whatever. We just kind of like jammed it out, and then it just kind of turned to like us playing like Metallica riffs or Metallica songs like with each other, you know, getting our buddies and just sitting in a room, you know what I mean? Like, And it just kind of started from there, you know. Like, as a matter of fact, my buddy over there, David, you know, he's one of our friends from high school. He lives over here. He's out to hang out with us. But the three of us just used to sit in a room for hours and hours and hours, just jam and talk about music, you know what I mean? So it's super cool, like, how things worked out for us, you know.
Tell me, in 2018, from here forward, do you have expectations for Bomb Scare that you can share?
Well, after this run, we've got a few commitments. We have some one-offs we're going to do. And then our plan is to finish writing, you know, for a new release and hit the studio, you know. So we're just getting that put together and, you know, from there, get it released, you know, start supporting it, you know.
So with releases, one of the things I'm seeing a lot is people releasing singles and EPs just to stay relevant in front of people. Do you want to do a full album, or will you take that path too of the shorter releases?
Well, for T-Minus, our first release, we did a full length, you know, and, you know, I feel like we kind of bit off more than we could chew on it, you know. It was completely DIY, we did it ourselves, you know, and I feel like, in my opinion, the production kind of suffered for it a little bit, you know. So this time around, we're gonna do, I guess it would be an EP, so it's gonna be 5 songs, you know, and our music normally falls in about 5 and a half minutes a song, so that's still an alright amount of material, but I really want to focus on the quality instead of the quantity this time, get some better production. I am talking to a few people, you know, engineers, producers, to really really hone that in, get a really good sound this time around, you know. I'm personally not a believer in releasing singles, you know. I'd rather have a few things to put out instead of one, you know what I mean? So, as much as I'd love, I'm a huge fan of full lengths. I like to hear everything, you know, but I feel like I don't know, the industry's really leaned towards, you know, less is more. I'm seeing a lot more EPs these days, you know, so I don't know, this time around, like I said, I think we're just going to focus on the quality this time instead and see how that does for us, you know.
When you look at acquiring new fans, do you think the most important thing is new releases, touring, or like social media or videos?
It's a balance of everything, you know. I feel like social media is a blessing and a curse, you know. It helps and hurts. It's a combination of everything, you know. You want to stay active. If you're not growing, you're dying, you know. So, you know, staying focused and just grinding, you know, is the main thing, you know. Always writing new stuff, trying to get the good gigs, you know. Having a solid online thing, you know, too. It's a balancing act, that's the way I see it, you know. I don't try to put all my eggs in one basket. I just try to do a little bit of everything, you know. And it's kind of like a slow and steady wins the race thing for us, because, you know, we're not financially able to tour all the time, you know. This doesn't pay our bills. So, you know, real life gets in the way. I've got rent and bills to pay. So, I mean, we, at this point in time, we try to get one solid run in a year. And then, you know, we try to get good, solid, you know, single shows, you know. And then, like I said, as of right now, we're trying to do the writing and recording a bit. So, I mean, with real life and all that, we try to stay as busy as we possibly can without burning ourselves out, you know. And because a lot of people do, unfortunately, wind up crashing and burning, you know. The financing gets the better of them, or being on the road all the time tears you apart, you know. So it's for us, it's just a balance.
It amazes me when you, like, I'm a huge, like, melodic death metal fan, especially like Sweden death metal and Flames, Dark Tranquility, Grave, stuff like that, and I'm always surprised when I talk to them that they also have to have jobs. You know, you think they're a big band and just the music industry doesn't support it, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes touring, they pay to tour, you know. It's
yeah, I mean,
make
even
your money on merch,
you know. We did a lot of this out of pocket this time, you know. It was a tough one, but that's just how it goes, you know. We do it because we love it, you know. I mean, this is what keeps me sane, you know. It gives me a purpose, I feel, you know. I wouldn't, as hard as it is, you know, as bad as some days are, I wouldn't want it any other way, you know.
We've had kind of a lot of deaths lately with Vinnie Paul, and I lost my friend Ralph Santola from PSI Death Obituary.
Right.
Do you think that it's because we're getting older and we're starting to see it more with social media, or do you think that, like, from the 80s and 90s, that lifestyle is cutting our rockers' lives short?
I mean, this has been happening since forever. Nobody lives forever, you know. These guys, it's getting to that point where, you know, people are starting, you know, our heroes are dying, you know. It's so fucking sad, but it's just part of life, you know. I feel like social media definitely, like, sensationalizes it more than it used to, you know. I just look at it, you know, like, I try, as sad as it is, I focus on, like, what they did, you know. I focus on what they did with their life as opposed to their death, you know what I mean?
It's a good way to do it. do you still participate in new music? Do you seek it out, or do you have like the staple music that you listen to? Do you follow new music and personally, like for pleasure?
You know, I like to study music, you know what I mean? I always listen to what other people are doing, and I try to apply it to myself. It's, I do enjoy all kinds of music, but I mostly listen to, like, you know, the thrash or the death stuff, you know, so I can, you know, I like what these guys are doing, or I'm not feeling that, you know, and I try to apply it to myself, so it's really, like, a studying thing for me, you know?
Is there a band, like, for me, In Flames and Incubus? I don't know why, but they, like, write the soundtrack to my life at the time I'm going through it. Do you have a band like that, that kind of, it's like the soundtrack to your life?
You know, my favorites are always changing. It's never a constant thing for me. Like, there will be a month where I'm listening to nothing but Overkill, or like nothing but Exodus, or like, you know, like the fucking Justice for All, like, wind up in my CD player for 2 weeks, you know what I mean? But you know, I really, it's a studying thing. So a lot of those, like a lot of the underground stuff, you know, like I said, like my probably my favorite band is Forced Entry, like of all time. I'm fucking obsessed with those guys, you know. You know, and I listen to a lot of the newer stuff too, like the new Havoc, the new Warbringer, those guys are killing it. Skeletal Remains, that new fucking record is amazing.
Like, I almost wore my Skeletal Remains shirt, and Havoc is here on Saturday night.
Awesome. Yeah, you know, we got the chance to open for Skeletal, and that was my first time actually seeing him, is opening for them, and I was blown away by those guys.
Amazing.
Completely.
Yeah, they're amazing. I've seen them twice. We have, I can't go on Saturday because we have Hairfest, which is a tribute, a festival. It's one of the best festivals. We don't have many here in Oregon because we're kind of small, but it's a tribute band festival. And so it's 3 days of just the top of the line, you know, Metallica, Guns N' Roses, tribute bands. Do you have any thoughts on tribute bands? There's quite the divide here. People who play original music are like, they suck, they should be more original. But a lot of people are like, it's our chance to relive the music and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. I'll say this, you know, I think it's really unfortunate that, you know, those guys, they make so much money, you know, the tribute bands get all the money, and, like, guys like us are out here breaking our necks, writing our own music, you know, like, we barely make it, you know, so, I mean, I try not to be bitter, I try not to dwell on it too much, but I do see that kind of thing happening, where the tribute bands are getting all this hype, you know, and, like, us, you know, trying to fucking make something new, you know, we don't. It's a lot tougher, I guess.
Don't you think it's because of the familiarity? I mean, people know those songs, and so it's, this can be...
Oh, I totally understand the business model. Yeah, you know, I mean, I totally get that, but, you know, personally, I never, like, even when I first started picking up the guitar, like, I was never really interested in learning covers, you know, I wanted to write my own riffs right from the get-go, so that's just always been my focus. I try not to focus on that kind of stuff too much. I don't like to dwell on what other people are doing, you know. I'm more focused on myself, you know.
That's good. That's a good way to be. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
I don't know. Do you have any other questions for me?
I probably have a lot.
Shoot.
I want to ask, I never get a good answer to this question, so let's try it. Music brings out community in people, and I am convinced that it is the beat and the groove. So when you have a band like in the early days, like Fates Warning or something like that, that's off-tempo and weird, or like now Meshuggah, one of my favorite bands, the first time you listen to it, it's super uncomfortable. But when you get it, it's like part of you. I mean, when you get all the flows of it, is it important as an original band to have that groove element to capture people?
You know, that is a really fucking good question. And to go back again, like, I'm totally being a fanboy here, but going back to Forced Entry, they have all that stuff too, you know, they've got the off time signatures, you know, they've got like varying like tempo changes, all kinds of that weird stuff. For me, and we do that too, you know, we try to have a little bit of everything. To me, it's all about having a hook at the end, you know, like we do the technical stuff, but there has to be something that's like catches you and brings you in. So to me, it's a balancing act, you know what I mean? It's, I like to have a little bit of something for everybody, you know? And I mean, like, you'll hear tonight, we've got some weird stuff in there, you know, but I feel like there's also something that, you know, can draw, you know, everybody in, you know what I mean?
I think that's super important, and I every time I ask this question, bands are always like, no, we don't even consider that, but I think you have to. I mean, I think you have to consider, to some degree, you can do it for yourself and the pleasure for yourself, but if you're relying on fans for support, you have to have some element that people get, even people who aren't totally into music or musicians.
A lot of that far out proggy stuff is like, it's music for musicians, you know, like,
Renovation,
your average listener might not be able to grasp that as well, you know, and
if you have that little tiny hook in there.
Something to drag him in, you know? Like, that one part where everyone's like, whoa, what the fuck, you know? Like, that's super important to me.
What's the weirdest thing you've seen on the road?
Wow, that is a tough question.
Do you have any weird fans?
I get along with everybody, you know? We're all weirdos, you know, you have to be a little weird to survive in this game, you know what I mean? So I don't look at it like, oh, that guy's fucking weird, you know? I'm just like, I just try to get along, hang out with everybody, you know? Like, I'm not like a weird, like abrasive guy at all. I just like to be everybody's friend, you know what I mean?
You seem approachable, yeah. You seem friendly. Do you ever feel like on social media people interfere into your personal life? Or does it get that far where you're like, whoa, that was a little too close?
We're not big enough to really have that issue. I've never had that happen, you know. Like, we're not rock stars. We're just average dudes doing what we love, you know. I've never had that really happen, so I couldn't really speak on the matter, you know.
I was thinking about, I interviewed Ray from Korn. We were just talking about Korn, and I asked him that question. He said that, you know, like, I think it was MySpace back in the day. He friended everybody, and then it got a little too close, like with his kids and stuff like that. So
I think
at least Facebook seems a little better than MySpace back in the day as far as protection a little bit.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn too, because like when I'm home, I'm a super private guy, really introverted, you know, but when I'm on stage, like that's my excuse to like not be myself, you know, like I get to go out there and be the guy that's like, you know, on the stage and everyone's looking at having fun and talking to everybody, you know what I mean? So it's like, to me, I try to just separate my life in that sense. You know, when I'm home, I'm home. You know, when I'm on the road, you know, that's when I'm, you know, metal dude Pat, you know? You know what I mean? Like, but, yeah, I mean, it's all like, again, it all comes to balance for me, you know?
Besides being a musician, is there something else that you're good at or that you're passionate about?
You know, when I'm home, I've got two jobs. I'm a body piercer. I love what I do. I do stagehand and production work, so I'm on the other side of the fence as well, you know. I'm working for gigs in that sense, too. I love my life, you know, as tough as and crazy as it is sometimes, there's not anything I would change, you know. I mean, I've got, you know, my dog, my girlfriend at home, you know, I love them to pieces, you know. So, I mean, I'm just like a normal dude when I'm home, you know what I mean? It's not like...
So, having seen the other side of it for one of your jobs, that probably helps you when you're on tour.
You know what it does? You know, like, I don't even walk into the gig the same way I would used to. I'm like, okay, so, like, what do we got on stage? You know, like, you know, what's the lighting rig? What's the sound rig? You know, like, I'm talking to front of house, you know, chopping up with him, figuring out what's going on, you know? So, I mean, it's definitely helped big time. You know, I actually got my drummer, Fernando, plugged in too, you know, so he works with me doing the production work, so.
I just did an interview last night with a guy named Chris. He's a tattoo artist, a really good one out of Springfield, Oregon. You'll pass that on the way to go to Medford. And he has a show on A&E, and he has, I think, a couple shows on A&E about tattooing, and on the road he does all the Comic-Cons and stuff. But he's put together the first Headbangers Con.
Oh, really?
Him and Morgan from Seven Dust, the drummer from Seven Dust, are putting on this big, huge thing in November with, like, tons of artists, like, you know, Twisted Sister, and, I mean, I can't even tell you who all. There's, like, 20... people who are coming, and fans can just come to pay to watch them play live, do Q&A, stuff like that. You should come up. I think there was a number from Korn and all sorts of stuff. But
no way. When is this?
It's in November. It's the first of its kind, and he hopes to take it on the road, but he's from Oregon, so we're lucky we get to do it. But that's a pretty cool thing to do, I think.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm supposed to be flying out to Seattle for some guest work, that's still in the works. I mean, if I'm in the area, I'd love to make it happen.
It's gonna be an awesome thing.
Sounds great.
Can you put the ultimate band together, only use one member from each band, and it can't be your band?
Okay, vocalist would have to be Ron Reinhardt from Dark Angel. I throw Tony Benjamin's from Fourth Century on bass, Gary Holt lead guitar. I'd throw James Murphy from Obituary on guitar in there too, and then Sid Falk from Overkill on drums.
Excellent band. That'd be an excellent band. Cool. That is it for me. If there's anything else you want to talk about, let's do it.
If there's anything else you got, I'm open, but either way, you know.
Your piercings are beautiful. Your art is beautiful. It looks like you have nice work done.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. My coworkers kick ass.
Oh, nice. Definitely. Yeah, you see a lot of people who are just, you know, it's not nice, but yours are really nicely done. So.
Thank you.
I'm excited for the show tonight. It'll be my first time seeing you guys.
Hey, I'm happy you're here. You know, this was a pleasure. Really enjoyed
it. Same here. Thanks.
Thank you.